BT. Been waiting an hour to talk about the Jets, and I started the show by saying there's good football and there's bad football. Well, the Giants played bad football. I thought the Jets played good football yesterday.
I'm very excited about the future. Listen, of course you want to win the game, and of course it stings when that 60-yarder, which could have been good from 70, that thing was drilled by Boswell. It hurts for sure, but I look at it a couple of ways here. Number one, the Jets were ready to play. They're ready to play in the first half because the stats told us that. The Jets did not punt on offense. They didn't commit a turnover. This is the first half. They didn't allow a sack. They had just two penalties, one of which was on Simpson, which was going to get Fields' back, which I have no issue with. They ran the ball 20 times, which showed me that they were going to, you know, follow through on their commitment to run. I thought their play calling was very good. They put Fields in good spots. They looked pretty poised, and they looked well-conditioned. So to me, it was emblematic of a tough, focused offseason by a rookie head coach, which to me portends good things.
Yeah, I don't even know if I could say I look at him as a rookie. He is obviously by definition a rookie head coach, but what I see is a guy who has been preparing for this opportunity far too long, and he should have probably gotten an opportunity. I don't know why he hasn't, but he should have gotten an opportunity to be a head coach many years ago. When they talk about the age, yesterday they mentioned it with Tomlin and Aaron Glenn at the same age.
Yeah.
Tomlin's been doing it for 20 years, whatever it may be.
Yeah.
Aaron Glenn. Now, I wanted to hire Pete Carroll, and obviously he had success with the Raiders, so it's just a totally different philosophy. Aaron Glenn is the right guy, and I feel like you could say that definitively. It doesn't mean that the Jets are going to win a lot of games. It doesn't mean that he's going to be able to overcome the ineptitude of the owners or whatever other. Aaron Glenn is a true leader of men. When he gets up there and addresses the post-game commentary stuff, he gives you honest answers. He's not a machine that's talking in circles like Brian Daboll and won't acknowledge or answer anything. He hits stuff head on. Hey, you guys are talking about the penalties because people were getting on them for... I got into this actually last night on Sports Night with Eamon McEnany, where I was like, to me, it's not about moral victories, but I was not judging the Jets on wins and losses this year. Certainly not yet. I wanted to see a team that they could be proud of, like Aaron Glenn said. That's a team you can be proud of. The Jets competed at the highest level against the Steelers. All right, they lost a couple of plays. Fumbles on kickoffs, that happens. Like, I got news for you. Mistakes happen. Derrick Henry fumbled the game away last night.
Yeah.
Anybody want to cut him? That happens. Now, where you got to get to eventually, BT, is a spot where one mistake is not going to kill you. But they also talk about the penalty on Quincy Williams. Like, okay.
That was a dumb one.
Yeah,
both feet
still
are out of bounds. That was stupid. That
enough.
Was the one penalty I couldn't say. But, well, but and you, the procedurals
but you're
thing
in,
as well.
You're in real time there. Like, you're trying to make a play. You don't know where the out of bounds is. Yeah, all right, you can clean
that's
that stuff up.
That's your job to know where it is, though.
Well, I mean, but
you got to know that was the right call. It was a bad penalty.
I'm not saying it was the wrong call. I'm saying that I'm not going to say that the Jets showed a lack of discipline because of the fumble or the Simpson penalty or even that Williams penalty.
Yep.
I think the other stuff that Glenn talked about, the false starts, all those little things being cleaned up. Justin Fields was fantastic. So I looked at a team that clearly we talked about what they were supposed to do with Aaron Glenn, what he wanted to do, they did it in week one.
They did. And if you told me that they would score 32 and give up 34, I would say, I don't see that script. Not that the Jets defense is going to be amazing, because they do have a real issue at corner opposite Sauce, and even their third level, you know, Adams missed a ton of tackles. Cisco, I don't love him. Like, the Jets are a work in progress still. But, you know, the one thing that is very interesting to me about where this goes, and who knows, maybe it was just one terrific game by Justin Fields, and he kind of goes back to what maybe some of you think he's going to go back to, which I don't think, because I pointed out a few times here, you know, each year completion percentage got a little bit better. He went to a situation like Zach Wilson here and Donald here and all the other quarterbacks that died here. His destination just happened to be Chicago with no offensive imagination, no offensive line. So he's out there making mistakes, trying to be an athlete. So he has gotten better. But what is appealing to me about him is that this year is about culture and just transitioning from Loserville to expectations and accountability, all the things that we demand as fans. And it's a low-risk financial commitment to Justin Fields to see what he had. And the thing that needs to be said, I think they said it on the broadcast yesterday, Justin Fields, when he used to leave the pocket in Chicago, he would just try to, you know, make something happen and run for his life. When you see him scrambling now, his eyes are downfield trying to make a play, trying to make a throw. And that tells me that he's grown, that he's matured, that he sees the field better. I can't wait to watch him play again.
I need to see more of Justin Fields, but he was spectacular yesterday. And his first touchdown throw to Garrett Wilson had some touch on it.
Yeah.
It was thrown perfectly.
Yeah.
So he was good. But my thing, he was great yesterday. I don't know if he could continue that. And if he does, the Jets are going to win a lot of football games. My bigger thing is that they said they were going to run the football, and they did that. And they did it on the Steelers' big bad defense. They were able to stop the run as well. Okay, Aaron Rodgers lit him up and threw for four touchdowns. Like you kind of expected that was going to happen. I thought Sauce did a good job, but Sauce did a good job on DK Metcalf for the most part.
I agree.
Jets were a little unlucky too. That catch at the end where DK messed it up and then it fell back into his hands.
I know.
Okay, look, guy hits a 60-yarder. What are you supposed to do? Look, the fumble on the kickoff changed the whole game as far as the win-loss thing. But if I'm not a value, you said the Jets are a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's week one of a brand new regime. So if I'm not going to evaluate their season on wins and losses, and I'm not going to do that, I have to be thrilled about everything that we saw from Aaron Glenn and his team. They went out there. They played hard. I'll give you another little thing that I loved about it. Even where maybe the play was blown dead, any loose ball that was around, the Jets were swarming to it. You know, sometimes, okay, well, was it behind the line of scrimmage? Yeah, it was, or it wasn't. It was a forward pass. But if the ball was out there or somebody puts the ball down and he wasn't touched, the Jets were around it.
Yeah.
That, to me, just shows you're in it. You're there. When you look at other games around the league yesterday, guys just don't do that. So the Jets looked to me like a well-coached, prepared team that was going to play the game hard and that's still learning here in week one. I do think that Glenn's going to clean up even some of the other stuff that we saw yesterday.
I can't say how many times I and we, by extension, have sat on our couches for almost a decade and a half. And literally, as the game's going on, if you're not asleep, right, from a food coma, you're sitting there saying, all right, there's going to be a run. All right, there's going to be a pass. Like, it was so obvious what the Jets were going to do all these years. Not an ounce of imagination from a play calling perspective. I thought they had a really good balance yesterday, but also I thought they avoided being predictable, so I think that portends good things for the new OC as well, Hangerstrand. But the other thing I would do this. Now, I almost didn't want to say this, but I'm going to say it. I would cut Gibson today.
Whoa.
I would cut him because, to me, that's, number one, he's had ball security issues in the past.
Okay, fair enough.
And if he didn't have ball security issues in the past, I'm not doing that today. But he is very expendable because, quite frankly, he's not very good at his job. And when you're not good at your job and you're sloppy/unreliable, you are expendable. And I know it's cutthroat and it's callous, and I hope that he would latch on with another team and make some money. But that is a chance. It's an opportunity. That's why they lost the game. That is an opportunity for Aaron Glenn to even accelerate the messaging in the building. There are certain things, men, that will not be tolerated. It wasn't a jarring hit with the helmet. It was a strip with the hand. You got to tuck that ball away. I would cut him today.
Yeah, I'm not going to be that drastic. Now, based on past performance, sure, that's a different issue.
Oh, he's done it before with them, Sal. He's been a problem.
I get it. I never really liked him to begin with, but I wouldn't do it. And if you thought it was good enough to be on your team week one and return kicks.
Well, the kid hurt his hamstring. Yeah. Who was supposed to take his job? I mean, Gibson.
Well, where is he now?
He got hurt. Okay. Gibson, I don't know if he's, he's going to be on IR, but he was out yesterday. Okay. He got hurt early in the game.
Then who's the alternative?
It's Gibson. Yeah. But you know what? If Gibson stinks, there's always another option.
I'm saying, who's the alternative to Gibson right now?
I'm forgetting his name. The kid who they brought in to take his job, who hurt his hamstring early in the game. Like, Gibson was not supposed to be back there.
Right.
But
if he's not healthy, that's my point. Like,
I know, but what I'm saying is Gibson's not good, so I don't really care who it is. Now, it might not be an upgrade, Sal, but it might be like a wash. But what you're doing, if you can get better, you want to get better. But what you're telling the team is, guys, unacceptable. There are certain things, if you don't know the playbook, if you're not on time, if you don't work hard, if you're not a good teammate, if you can't protect the football and we can't trust you, you got to go.
I just think it's a very tricky thing because then what happens when Breece Hall fumbles?
Well, Breece Hall's better than Gibson. You look the other way.
I'm just saying
if he keeps doing it, you bench him for Braylon Allen.
Yeah, that's the point. If he keeps doing it, one mistake, it's not just like, well, okay, he made a mistake.
No,
fumbles happen. And yes, Gibson's a different issue because he's had issues in the past, whatever. I'm just saying in general, it's not about, well, he fumbled, we're not going to tolerate that. Yeah, there are ways to do it. Whether you bench guys, sit guys, mistakes are going to happen. Fumbles happen. There's no way to completely clean that up. Same thing with penalties. Penalties are going to happen. You're going to have some late hits, unfortunately. To me, there are different type of... The penalty in the Titans-Broncos game, late in that one, where the Titans were about to get the ball back, and they made a stupid play, a late hit on the quarterback. I forget exactly what it was, but they made a stupid play. Like, there's a difference between a stupid late hit and what happened with Quincy Williams yesterday. I think that was just he made a mistake. He made a bad play. He's got to clean it up. That wasn't a stupid penalty where we've seen the Jets make so many
selfish penalties.
Yeah.
But now, I would differentiate and say that it was still a stupid penalty, but not born out of being selfish. It was born out of being aggressive, which I can live more. The only reason I say that, Sal, is, you know, you have to know the boundaries. It's like if you're a base runner in baseball, you can't run outside the line. You got to have spatial awareness. And I know that things are moving fast and bodies and 80,000 people, 46,000 of which were Steeler fans, of course. Things are flying fast. I get it. But when 2 feet, not one, when 2 feet are 2.5 feet into the white boundary, to me, that's a dumb penalty.
What I will say definitively about Glenn, we'll get back to your calls here, 888-808-1019. If they don't eventually have success, it's not going to be because of him. Yep. It will be because they will not have the proper guy putting the right talent around him. I think Aaron Glenn is a home run head coach. You hear it every time the guy speaks. That was the case from the beginning. And then you got to see it right out of the gate in week one, the way his team played. I'm not into moral victories.
Mm-hmm.
But when you're talking about big picture, where the Jets have been coming from with the ineptitude,
yep,
like the highest levels of ineptitude, to one game with the new head coach, I think you have to be. If you're a Jet fan, you're doing yourself a disservice if you're not happy with the way that they looked in week one.
I'm pumped. I really am. I do think they've got the right guy now because Aaron Rodgers threw four touchdowns. Like, that Rodgers stuff's going to seep into the mindset, of course. Even though, you know, Aaron's got to say it's not about more victories, and he's absolutely right, but there's got to be a transition from being awful to being competitive, which the Jets were highly competitive. So I'm not going to grade them out and say it's a failed week because they didn't win the game. But did it have to be Aaron Rodgers? Like, that is the one thing, even from a Jets perspective. Like, come on, man, it's Rodgers. No picks, four touchdowns. Come on.
You knew that was coming, though. Ray is in Babylon. What's up, Ray?
I'm not happy, but I'm pleased. The Jets put on some performance last night. One thing, gentlemen, that you didn't mention was that the offensive line gave up zero sacks. Think about that.
Yeah.
I'm high on this offensive line. There was zero sacks. They allowed Fields to pass for 218 yards. Breece Hall was a force yesterday. If we didn't have, you know, that stupid Gibson, you know, hit the bricks, get out of here fumble, that was converted into a touchdown, I hate to say this, we could have, should have. I don't want to sound that way.
Damn.
And I really am an open and go negative Jet fan. I can't be negative this morning.
Yeah.
I'm going to quote Aaron Glenn. It's not a moral victory, but for the love of God, Maradon Namir, there is something to build on.
Attaboy, Ray. I love it. See, that's the sound. That's what I'm talking about right there. Ray, thanks for the call. Now, listen, this isn't even really a nitpick, but it does need to be said. But he's going to figure this out. You can't have one timeout with a minute to go. Like, those, the good teams and the veteran coaches and the coaches who elevate and eventually
Well, they blew one on that 2-point attempt. That one you can't have.
That's what I'm saying. Yeah. You get the ball with a minute and three left.
And then the play call I thought was bad as well.
On the two-point call, when he threw the fade in the back. I hated that.
You can't do that.
I hated that play. I'm happy you say that. Yeah. That's not on Aaron Glenn. That's on Hanger Schramm. But to me, like, the margin for success on a fade to the right part of the end zone with a smallish wide receiver, it's not Megatron or Altoon. I'm on the same page with that. But I got to say one thing, too, because it speaks to something that doesn't just happen in week one. It happens when Glenn first walked in the building that is going to really be good for this team fast moving forward. They give up 14 points in 50 seconds, as we know. And at that point, I'm sitting there saying, all right, this thing just got very wobbly, very fast. And they go from winning big to losing 31-26. What happens after the 14th point and 50th second elapses? The Jets go Hall, Reynolds, Hall, Taylor, Fields, Hall, Fields, penalty, touchdown. So they punched right back. And, you know, that would have been a good time for a team that didn't have any mental toughness or spirit to check out. We played a good first half. Steelers got a lot of Hall of Famers. They got 50,000 fans in here. Let us tap out. We played a good half. They fought back, and they scored again after what was a very tough situation. So they're 0-1, but, boy, that doesn't feel like they're 0-1. It's crazy.
Defense, and obviously they had a lot of points defensively, they allowed a lot of points defensively in Rodgers with the four touchdowns. But still, even with that, remember I talked about with the Giants, I wanted to see if they were going to look dominant at times. Never really got that feel. But with the Jets, whether it was Quinnen Williams, whether it was Will McDonald.
Will looked good.
You got to see a defense with some potential there.
That's in
week one that can be. Again, I know they allowed a lot of the points. Stop the run with the Steelers.
They did. They did. And the knock on Will, he was always like a wiggle and burst guy. But he won a couple of matchups because he, like, weight room, like you could tell, he put the time in.